you really can have it all, it all, it all, it all, it all, it all. Welcome to Having It All, featuring experts and pioneers in health, wealth, relationships, and spirituality, creating a healthier, wealthier, happier you. And now, here's your host, the Miracle Mama, Marbeth Dunn.
I'm Marbeth Dunn, the Miracle Mama, and years ago, I was living in Haiti, way before the earthquake, way before Hurricane Matthew. I was very, very stuck in a very difficult marriage, and I'm sure you can, many of you can relate. One of my biggest issues was this relationship with my former husband. I had other issues, too. There were financial issues, there were health issues. But this was really the biggest one. I didn't have very much power in our relationship. I lost my self-esteem. I lost my self-respect. And I felt really, really stuck. I walked on eggshells all the time to keep the peace. And my life was just very bleak. And I was searching desperately for a way out. And at that time, I believed that what was presented to me, what life presented, was written in stone, that things were as they appeared and you couldn't really change it. But somehow, I didn't believe that that was gospel. So I read metaphysical books and I looked for answers. I was looking for anything that could save me. And one morning, I was sitting in bed and I was reading and a beautiful shaft of sunlight was pouring in through the window and I looked up for a second and I've mentioned this on other calls. I got caught up in watching the little dust motes that were dancing in the sunlight, and suddenly it hit me. Maybe my life wasn't written in stone. Maybe my thoughts could change things. And that was the instant that my life began to blossom. And that's when miracles began to flow for me. And I developed a very close relationship with a guide, a very important guide that I could rely on, a living entity called the Holy Spirit, who had my very best at heart. And I began to shift my perceptions, all my perceptions about everything, and everything that I thought was real. And I realized that my entire thought system needed an overhaul. So when you bring spirit into any relationship, and I brought spirit into that marriage, he changes it. But I was it got even more turbulent as spirit was working. And so I left. I was gone for 5 days. And I didn't want to come back again, but I was guided to go back. I was very reluctant, expecting more of the same. But when I came back, it was on my terms, so things were different. And all the aspects of my husband that were so painful, they weren't there. Things had really shifted radically, and I was shocked. I was amazed. It was a total miracle. And I just had the vision of us renewing our vows, our marriage vows, and we did. So that was a relationship miracle. A healed relationship is a miracle, and I teach my clients how to attract miracles into their lives so that they can have peaceful, loving, happy, respectful relationships and abundant, healthy lives. Now, not everybody has had that wonderful experience of attracting miracles into their lives. And if you're living with someone who is driving you crazy or where you have to walk on eggshells to maintain the peace and somehow everything is your fault, well, we have a guest today, Dr. Roberta Shaler, the relationship doctor. She is in the house. Dr. Roberta Shaler is a relationship consultant, an educator, a speaker, and author. And for over 30 years in Canada and the United States, Dr. Shaler has calmed the turbulence of troubled relationships, offering the insights and pattern-breaking skills that lead to blame-free, game-free, non-manipulative relationships. I am so happy to welcome you to Having It All Radio. Welcome.
Thank you so much, Marbeth. I'm so happy to be here. We talked about talking, and now here we are.
I know. It came up so quickly. So, yes, and I'm so happy that you're here. You know, when I was thinking about the introduction, I realized I needed to talk about my relationship because it's so similar to the ones that you talk about. And miraculously, this one was able to shift for about four or five years. But he wasn't able to sustain the shifts. It was just too much of a trial for him to do that. So I do want to talk with you about your specialty. You know, you've coined a word, the hijackal, which says it all.
I wanted to coin a word that was non-clinical. I just find so many people, Marbeth, are going online looking for reasons, looking for explanations, looking for descriptions, and they find a clinical term. And then they start not looking at themselves and their relationship. They start diagnosing the other person, making them wrong, and we lose the dynamic. So I wanted a non-clinical term for people that I call are relentlessly difficult and disturbing. So that's where hijackals came from.
Well, it's a great term, and it definitely sums it up. So I have lots of questions for you. I think it's really a very juicy topic. I know there are a lot of people on the call that can relate to this. So what are the characteristics of a hijackal?
Oh, there are so many, but let me give you a few that people will recognize. And the thing is that you may not recognize them as traits of a behavior pattern because you're so used to rationalizing and justifying their behavior that it seems normal to you to do that. So let me give you a few. One of them, the biggest one that you can recognize is they must win in every situation. So whether or not they have to say black is white to win today and tomorrow they have to say black is red to win tomorrow, they will do it because they have to be right. It has to be them on top, you on the bottom. Them right, you at fault. Another one would be mismanaged emotions. Something small happens, yet they have a huge reaction, a huge negative reaction, and it's completely out of proportion to things. Another would be what we call splitting, which is that instead of having any shades of gray on a continuum, they have it all or nothing. So the moment you're doing what they want you to do, you are the best partner in the world. And the moment that you say, but I don't think it'll work, all of a sudden you're the scum of the earth. There's no middle ground. So that splitting is a characteristic. One of my favorites is one that we see frequently, and I, on my membership site, I have 10 videos on the 10 hallmarks of hijackals, and I've done the 10 videos so you can really understand. The number 10, I save it for last, it's incredulity. If there's someone in your life that you or other people hear or watch, and you end up saying, who does that? Who says things like that? That you're completely incredulous that someone would do it and get away with it. You're probably looking at a hijackal, especially if they do it frequently.
Yes. Okay. Well, that's very informative. And I'm wondering if people are recognizing someone in their lives. Tell me, how did you get started, you know, working with relationships? I have a very strong suspicion that you might have been involved with hijackal or two.
I've been doing this work for a very long time. And I've worked with a lot of couples and a lot of companies trying to help them with difficult people, difficult situations, learning communication, conflict management skills and things. But over time, as I really looked at what had happened to me and realized that I had a hijackal family, not just one, but they come in clusters. And so therefore, I thought, this was, I guess about 20 years ago, when I realized, all the things that I have seen, I thought they were crazy. I thought they were difficult. I thought they were absurd. But did I actually handle the impact that they had on me in my life? And I realized, no, because I was still what I now call hijackal bait.
Yes.
When you're raised in a hijackal family, you either tend to become a hijackal or you become hijackal bait. You're so normalized to the dysfunctions of these people that they can almost smell it on you, and they are wildly attracted to you.
It's written on your forehead.
It is. So I had to figure that one out, because I was more than a little tired of hijackals, and there was no help. I mean, people generally shy away from dealing with hijackals, and even in their professional practice, because it's tough. And they certainly have more familiarity with dealing with people who have been with a hijackal or are trying to leave a hijackal. But I thought, no, I really have to develop, from my own experience and with my own professional expertise, a way to help people, A, recognize what's happening or happened, B, see the implications of it, and C, recover from it. So whether it was your mother, your father, some authority figure in a church or and a job or something that allowed you to see those behaviors and learn to respond to them when you were small and you kind of had to do everything the giants wanted you to do, you didn't have language to figure it all out. You didn't understand the language. You understood all the emotion of it and how to stay safe and how to keep the giants feeding you and taking care of you. And so you morphed into ways that you needed to in order to keep the giants as happy as they could be. And if you had hijackled giants, then you've learned some very, very difficult things that don't serve you well and will attract hijackals. So I learned from the best. My mom was a hijackal, and my father was the height of passive aggressive. So a combination which caused my mother to tell me at least once a week that she didn't want to be a mother, she never intended to be, and she hated it. Now that's the kind of thing a hijackal mom will do, because you know, when you were reading in the introduction that game-free, shame-free, blame-free relationships that are non-manipulative is what I work with. Well, to be shamed is different than to be blamed. To be blamed said you made a mistake. To be shamed says you are a mistake. So every week I was shamed for existing. Well, when you start looking at the underpinnings of all that, you realize what an incredible impact having a hijackal as a parent or authority figure in your young life does, and the trauma it creates.
Oh, sure. Yeah, it's huge. So Let's talk of this in different terms. I always referred to this type of personality as a narcissist, and I found that there is a huge attraction between empaths and narcissists. Are we speaking about the same thing, just in different language?
Sure, because the clinical term would be narcissist, borderline, sociopath, narcopath, psychopath, histrionic. Those would all be the clinical terms for all those people with all those clinical definitions, all share the same pool of traits. They just have them in differing amounts and combinations. So what we need to know are the traits and how to recognize them and what to do about them. When we're in relationship with people, we don't need to know how to diagnose a narcissist. We need to know what to do when they show up in our lives.
Well, here's the thing. When you're in a relationship with someone who is hijackal or narcissistic, you may not, I didn't recognize what the similarities were between them and, say, my grandfather, who had anger issues and I would say, you know, some of the other traits as well, and very domineering in our family. And so it was easy for me to, even though things appeared to be in different clothing, a different package. They were basically the same situation underneath. And after I left my marriage, I did attract someone who was very narcissistic, even more. And I was, I didn't see the pattern. I couldn't see it. When you're inside the jar, it's impossible to read the label. And I had a friend who was saying, what is the similarity between these different relationships? And I threw up my hands. I don't know. I don't see a similarity because I couldn't. I was so embroiled inside of it. I couldn't see it.
Now that's right. And I love your analogy. And mine is that two goldfish only see each other. They don't see the water and the bowl. And that's why they come to me, because I could see the bowl and the water and the goldfish and all the space around it.
So what do you do when someone is in a situation with a very difficult person?
Well, first of all, they have to want help. So if they come, I have a Facebook group, a closed Facebook group called Optimize Life. Why it's called Optimize Life is that hijackers like to hack. So you don't want to be in a Facebook group that says how to get rid of a hijacker. So, because they'll walk behind you on your computer and go, what are you doing that for? So it's called Optimize Life. So people will come in and find support that way. And sometimes then they'll come to work with me through that and through my small group consulting and through my private sessions. But to begin, it's very small steps, as you probably know, because you walk this, that just recognizing you want to protect the person. You want to say, oh no, he was having a bad day, or she's just upset,
yes,
or going
well.
And so you want to pull back, like you have that moment to say, I can't stand this any longer. And then you go, oh, but I'm not a very good person if I can't stand it. I should be more compassionate, more patient, more kind, more all those things. And you beat yourself up. So it's slow work, Marbeth, because you have to say, oh yes, and what did happen last week and 3 days ago? And like you were saying, there's a pattern you can't see till someone holds up the mirror. Like I had a woman in my practice who came in one day and she had a big mark across her face. I said, what happened? She said, he hit me with a hairbrush.
Oh my goodness.
We're going on in this session. And she said, but I know he loves me. I said, how do you know that? She said, well, he brought me flowers 3 weeks ago and said he was sorry. So I walked her over to the mirror in my room and I said, what's that? And she said, well, he hit me with a hairbrush. He loves me. He hits me with a hairbrush. Are these the same things, right?
Yeah.
Well, but I know he loves me. No, honey, he hit you with a hairbrush. So it's very, very slow work, because it's like a cha-cha. It's two steps forward and one step back, because we don't want to believe it. It means our picker was off. You know, how did I choose that person? Well, what's wrong with me? And then you've been defending that person so long that you don't feel like you can say anything negative about them, because you've been assimilating and integrating their behavior as somewhat normal. So the first steps are the recognition of the pattern, that all these pieces that I talk about are part of a pattern. And start going, oh, well, she does that and that. Oh, and that too. And then you start to say, okay, there is a pattern here that keeps repeating. Sure, a hijacker is a chameleon. They want you, when they meet you, they are the most perfect person ever, because they read you so well. And one thing a hijacker will do, so here's a big red flag, everybody. A hijacker, and we'll call the hijacker in this case male, he will want to marry you, move in with you, or get you pregnant as fast as possible to create
So we'll be back in just a moment. We have a break coming up, but we'll be back to learn more about the hijackal traits in just a moment. Is the daily grind getting you down? How would you like to trade in your stress and struggle for peace, love, abundance, and joy? I'm Marbeth Dunn, the Miracle Mama. Even if you are struggling in your relationships, health, or peace of mind, you can have it all. Don't waste another day. Learn my simple secrets to eliminate stress and struggle in my free report, 7 Easy Steps to Harness the Power of Miracles. Go to miracles101.com to get your free report today. That's miracles101.com. And we are back. Wow, well, this has been really so fascinating. I want you to know that you'll be able to learn all about Dr. Roberta Shaler on her show page on havingitallradio.com. That's havingitallradio.com. You'll be able to find her website, her book, all of her contact information, how to find her website, her contact information on social media. It's all there for you, because this is such a fascinating, fascinating subject. I know for me, once I recognized the pattern, I created a declaration that I would only attract into my life people who would cherish and love me. And I severed completely all connection with anyone who wouldn't. And that was it. They were gone. Gone from my life.
Oh, but that wasn't easy, was it?
I mean, well, I couldn't recognize it. It took me years to figure it out. And I think, you know, when we have a very difficult childhood, when we have a childhood where we feel less than, where we have very low self-esteem, and then we find that person who finds us, you know, that connection. I'm empathic, and of course, I'm very loving and nurturing. That's exactly what they want.
Sure.
So, yep.
And not all empaths are high Jekyll Bates. Many empaths have a tendency to want to take care of everybody, respond to everybody, be compassionate to everybody, see the good in everybody. You know, that's part of the nature of the empath. But if you have not had high Jekyll experience in your past, you will likely have a better ability to see what's going on and walk away from it.
Mm-hmm.
But definitely, if you have had it in your past and you happen to be an empath, you've been making excuses for your entire family, your entire life. So this person comes along and you say, oh, I understand this person completely. I almost feel at home. And we start thinking that they're our soulmates, you know, and that's mm-hmm. just what they want us to think until they get us to make a commitment. And then what they do, most of them, is try to take over the finances and make you dependent on them. And mm-hmm. then they begin slow degradation of your self-esteem. And sometimes it's not so slow.
Well, it's true. And there was a point where I went to a counselor, and later in my marriage, and my counselor said, you know, you're so busy taking care of everyone else. What are you doing for yourself? And I thought about it, and I thought about it, and I thought about it, and I wasn't doing anything for myself. Yes. He said, well, you need to find something, even if it's an hour a week, even if it's, you know, just something that, and I couldn't think of anything at that point. I was so degraded that I couldn't think of anything that I wanted to do. And then I thought, you know, when I lived in Haiti, I was a painter, and maybe I could paint again. So I found a class at the high school, and it was 3 hours a night, and I loved it. And I went through, you know, such torture at home to be able to go there. It was just really, really difficult.
You have to have something for yourself, because their job then becomes to take it away or demean it.
Yep. So it was really rough. And then about 6 weeks in, I was getting so much grief at home, and I made the mistake. It came right out of my mouth. I said, "Oh, did you want to come?" And as soon as I said it, I was like, "Oh my God, what did I do?" And of course, that totally ruined it for me.
Sure.
So, yeah, yeah.
Didn't have your private thing to own anymore.
Yeah.
That over to,
yeah. So, yeah, it was very, very interesting, interesting topic for me. And I know it is for many men and women, men as well as women, because I know these hijackals come in every shape and form.
They do. And in every country, I have clients all over the world because I see people through video conferencing, and they're from every country and every walk of life. But the sad thing to me is that many people, because they have had the hijackal hijack the finances of the relationship, they have a big difficulty in getting the help that they need because they don't have the funds. They don't have the funds to get out on their own. They don't have the funds to take care of their children. Very, very difficult. So what do you think it was that made the moment when you could just leave? What was the moment?
Well, I had been planning to leave. I'd wanted to leave for a long time, but I had the fear that if I did, then he might take my kids and run away to Mexico or something. It could easily have happened. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't going to take that chance. So what happened was my mom passed away, and my daughter graduated high school, my younger daughter, and it was the perfect storm. I just left, I planned it out and I did it. I was ready.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't
listening who want to do that. They will want to do that. And hearing your story will be important to them that you do have to plan it. I left my first hijackal because I've met more than one.
Of course.
Hijackal with a great deal of planning. Packing boxes and putting them at the back of closets and culling everything and waiting for the one moment that he was going to be away for a whole day and move to an unknown location. I remember clearly that in the middle of all that, one of my friends I went to and I said, I can't do this. And she said, "Oh, yes, you can. And we're doing it." But that's what happens, That was long before I had the realization. I had two children and they were small and I was working and he was going to school on my dime.
Of course.
And so it was, I know the fear of leaving and saying, "All right, I'm going to jump out into the middle of nothing and see what rises up to support me." Fortunately I held the cards of the finances, so I didn't have that issue. But so many people do.
Yes, they do. Yeah. I have volunteered at a shelter for survivors of domestic abuse. Mm-hmm. I did that for, I guess, about a year or so after I left my marriage. And it was very enlightening for me because I still hadn't recognized what I'd come from. And, it's interesting. It really is a revelation. And, you're seeing things through a particular filter and it's almost as if you have blinders on and you just don't see anything on either side of them. And, and speaking with the different women that were there, and recognizing that it was really about power and control. And, it was very, very interesting. So, my question to you is, when you're working with a marriage or a relationship where you have a hijackal involved, what is your goal there? Do you try to help the non-hijackal reestablish different behavior in the relationship or create boundaries?
Well, in the ideal setting, I try to work with both of them.
Right.
Because I need to see and hear clearly the patterns. And
right.
I need to see the depth of the pain. I need to see how much of a hijackal a person is. being a hijackal is a lot like being pregnant. You know, you're either you are or you aren't.
Right.
But there are degrees over the 9 months of how big you get, right? So I always feel that there are baby hijackals and there are mega hijackals, you know.
Right.
Or ultimate supreme hijackals, as in the case of our country.
Yes. I didn't mention that, but yes.
I didn't either. So I always like to start from the premise of, can this relationship become better? Mm-hmm. And the one thing that's going to have to happen, whether it can become better or not, is the partner of the hijackal has to learn new skills and strategies and a new way of seeing and being. Mm-hmm. So hopefully that will happen in the context of seeing the couple. The mm-hmm. actual happenings that occur there are that a hijackal, his or her entire mission is to seduce me into believing that they're right and manipulate me into siding with them against their partner. And that's what they want. And I have a really good meter that detects that kind of thing. So it doesn't happen.
Right.
It doesn't happen. But what happens is I let them go on for a little bit so that I can learn and watch the dynamics. And then I begin to say to the hijackal, is it possible that your behavior created this? At that point, they go ballistic. They start to question me, my credentials, and, you know, the horse I rode in on. And they go running out of the room. The partner says, oh, let me go bring him or her back. And I say, no, you just watch. The patterns are so entrenched that that person will be back because they can't bear to not know what we're talking about.
Exactly.
Back, right? And then
right.
Everything in their power to stop the process. So, which is why I only offer packages. And the package is for 8 or 15 sessions. And once the package is begun, there are no refunds, but it can be used by one or both people. So
right.
Therefore, the hijackal has paid for it, and the other person gets the benefit if the hijackal decides not to participate.
Good.
So that's the way that runs. So we begin by endeavoring to try out things within the relationship, things that would improve things that would clarify things and move them to greater intimacy. Three things that have to be in a healthy relationship. We have to have equality, reciprocity, and mutuality. And if we can't find equality, reciprocity, and mutuality and find a way to move toward it, we're not going to get anything good from this. So the last thing a hijackal wants is those three things. Hijackals don't love you. By the way, everybody, hijackals, no matter what they say, do not love you. They have uses for you. You have to understand that. They're very wily. They're very adept at making you think otherwise. They'll claim to love you forever, but always watch the behavior because it's the uses they have for you. They're incapable of loving you because they do not have empathy.
Yeah, that's I get that. Yeah, very, very, very interesting. So now, do you think that it's possible for hijackals to be cured of their hijackalness?
No, and they have no intention or desire to be cured of their hijackalness. But a person has been with a parent who is a hijackal, and they've equally been with a parent who is not and has some strength or has left the hijackal and shown them a different way of being, it is often possible to get the potential hijackal or the hijackal in training to see that there's another way and it might work better. So sometimes people are so fearful that they mimic hijackal behaviors, but it's not their true nature. But in most mm-hmm. cases, this is so imprinted and entrenched that the hijackal has no desire to change because they see no reason to change. Remember, hijackals are always right, and they're always perfectly right.
So, and do you find that when you're working with a couple and the bait, shall we say, the non-hijackal, starts to become more independent, that there can be suddenly an eruption of violence?
Oh, yes, yes, yes. And it may be verbal violence, maybe emotional violence, it may be physical violence. Let's be completely honest. I just was texting with a client just before we started to talk, and she knows the potential for violence. And she said to me, should I get a gun? She said that today. And I said, I can't answer that question, but I can tell you that unless you're an excellent markswoman and you're planning to use it, he's way bigger than you. He'll overpower you. He will shoot you, and he will say it was self-defense because it's
right.
Your. And I have had a client who was in a new relationship. She was divorced, always fighting, of course, in court, because that's what hijackers do. He wanted the children. He didn't want the children. Children are possessions and weapons and messengers. That's all they are.
Right.
He didn't want them, but he didn't want her to have them. So I worked with him. He said, you know, this is not good. That you have to protect yourself. You must protect yourself. Only had two sessions with her. And then I opened the morning paper, and he'd walked into our office, shot her between the eyes, shot himself, and the children had no parents.
Mm. Yeah.
So.
No, I know there's the potential for violence, yeah.
And just let your listeners really understand, this is real stuff. This is the stuff that you read about in the newspaper.
Sure.
These are not people who just, yeah, sure, you know, we have that phrase in our vocabulary in the U.S. now, going postal. Those are just people who, you know, they're people who had huge depression, huge anger, huge hostility, may or may not have been a hijackal. But a hijackal is a whole other thing. This is a personality disordered person who doesn't see life in the same logical frame that most non-hijackals do.
Right.
And so their propensity to violence is often quick because of what I mentioned earlier, their mismanaged emotions.
Right.
Because they don't think, they just want to win. And if I can't win with words, then I'll win by pushing you around or demeaning you or telling all your friends what a horrible person you are or bad-mouthing you to the community. They'll do anything to win.
Yeah.
Anything. And they'll take your friends, they'll take all your money, they'll take everything, and then they'll tell you it's your fault.
Oh, absolutely. No, I know what you're talking about. But what was so interesting in my intro, when I was sharing how my relationship shifted through spirit. Now, it didn't maintain longer than maybe 4 years, maybe five. But I think it was around 4 years. But the fact that that could actually happen was pretty amazing.
Yeah,
that the whole personality could change then, and the different traits that had been so horrible were gone. Mm-hmm. You know,
they were submerged,
but it was truly a miracle. I mean, this is totally guided by spirit, and and to me it was like showing me, well, look what can happen. You know,
what I find interesting there, Marbeth, is you did the work, you did the ask, you did the connecting, and it came
of course
for you. And you know, I do a lot of work with spiritual things because I've been a minister for a very long time, so I'm happy to go there. When we do our own work, that's all we have to do. We can't do somebody else's work.
You can't. No, you have to do it for yourself. That's very, very true. We have another break, and then we will be back with more all about the hijackal. Stay tuned.
Have you been stuck, really stuck? I'm Marbeth Dunn with a very special opportunity only for listeners of Having It All Radio. If you'd like to step out of victimhood to become a co-creator of your own abundance and success, sign up now for my Flash of Insight consult at yourmiraclepower.com/insight, I-N-S-I-G-H-T. Not only will we work together one-on-one to release an issue that's been keeping you stuck, you will receive a special bonus, my signature Power of Joy audio program valued at $397. I've been there. I understand the hurt you're going through. Don't delay. Sign up now for your Flash of Insight consult, yourmiraclepower.com/insight.
Choosing to work with Marbeth Dunn was one of the smartest things I ever did. She has an intuitive gift that allows her to meet people where they are so that you can begin to peel away the layers of stuff that keep us from having that soulful and joyful journey that we want. I know in my personal and professional life, I experienced a new sense of well-being, and I show up differently. I've had successes in those areas that I don't think were possible before I met and worked with Marbeth. I also have a new confidence in myself, and that makes a world of difference.
And we are back. Yes. And we're going to talk more about this fascinating topic. And is it possible that people can live their whole lives and not have any hijackal experience?
Well, it is possible theoretically and mathematically, but it's highly unlikely because you're going to have either people in your family or your workplace or your church or your synagogue or your community organization that you just bristle when they treat you badly, and you're going to have a hijackal experience. One in every 25 people has a genetic marker for this, and it may or may not actually come to fruition. It depends on whether they had perceived traumas in their early lives. Mm-hmm. So it's quite possible that they will lay dormant and nothing will happen because you had a wonderful upbringing and you didn't meet any hijackals. But one of the things we also need to talk about, in addition to whether you can get through without meeting one, is that it's on the rise. From 2000 to 2011, we saw a 10% rise in the number of diagnosed people with personality disorders, which are all the people I call hijackals. And because they have such an impact on their children, and they don't get any help. So there are many, many factors.
Because they don't think there's anything wrong.
Well, no, they're perfect. How could there be anything wrong? They're always right.
Right.
So they go looking for help. Occasionally they'll go looking for help for their partners because their partners are, of course, lowly messes, not worthy of their time or whatever, but maybe I could fix them. And that's their perception. But it's very unlikely that you're going to go through life without having experienced one. And hopefully, if you have good boundaries, as soon as you experience one, you're going to go in the other direction. But it's about having really good boundaries. And most people could use some shoring up in that realm. I'm sure you would agree.
Definitely. I'm shaking my head here.
Yeah, we have a fear, it seems. I've been doing this work a long time. And I really noticed from all the trainings that I've done that people have a fear of being assertive. As we were talking about spiritual things a moment ago, I just want to interject that from a first chakra point of view, which is the center, our survival center, that aligns perfectly to a right that we have, which is the right to be here and to be seen. And to be here and be seen, we also have the right, in my opinion, and I wrote about this in one of my books, Kaizen for Couples, we have the right to be able to say what we think, what we feel, what we need, and what we want. Yeah. And the caveat on that, though, that I've learned after doing this for so long, is that you can't say anything about another person in that. You can only speak about yourself.
Right.
I feel, I need, I want. You never say the word you.
Mm.
And that that's different than what many people learn in communications training, because they're still teaching people to do the I message, which I feel this way when you do that, which is just vaguely disguised blame.
Yes, but of course. And not always vaguely.
But you have a right to be assertive in the way that you speak about yourself and yourself only. And right. That's the right to show up in this life and do it. So when you start to learn that you actually have the right to breathe and take up space.
And have value.
And you have the right to say what you think, feel, need, and want. This is the beginning of the change that you and I were talking about earlier.
And doesn't it come from a self-love? Because I think when you don't feel that you're worthy of love, if you don't feel that you deserve anything better than this, you're going to continue to be stuck.
Exactly. So going back to your point, you were sitting asking, you know, this beam of light captured your interest and you start... Mm-hmm. You know, looking at it, and it starts to open you up, and you start to ask a question or two, and you find some guidance. Mm-hmm. How many people are according themselves the time to sit and learn about who they are from the inside out? My partner and I wrote a book called Soul Solitude, Taking Time for Our Souls to Catch Up. Mm-hmm. We invite people to sit quietly on a regular basis. Whether you want to call it meditation, you want to call it reflection, whatever you want to call it. But come to know yourself so that you can know spirit within.
Sure.
But you can't do that unless you're willing to spend time alone, doing nothing else but being. And this is a very big beginning point for feeling the value that you intrinsically have. That you accord yourself the time to be with you. Because I used to give a lot of singles programs, and I say, if you wouldn't go on a date with you, why should anybody else?
Of course. You need to be your own best friend.
Exactly.
You know, it's a little cliche, but it's true. You really need, and I know, you know, having been at the very lowest of self-esteem and self-respect, that... You know, that I didn't have any perceived value. And to look back on that, it's just amazing that, you know, I could just shift into being someone who does, and a wonderful relationship now. And, you know, and I'm really happy, and I live a life filled with miracles. But believe me, I know what it's like to be back there.
Well, and, you know, a miracle has a lot of definitions, and I don't know which one you prefer, but it's just imagine a shift, a lightening of your load, a lightening of your mind, a lightening of feeling like, wow, I could see the world differently, and I don't have to stay the same. I
mean,
those are miracles in themselves.
Totally.
And something large happening, but just to come to the place of saying, I have value. And when I look in the mirror, I can say, I love you, I accept you, and I approve of you just the way you are. Mwah! You know?
Yep.
So we get to that place. Then we can say, how could I allow anyone to treat me in a way that's less than I would treat myself? But until we get to that place, we're going to have problems.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But, you know, I feel that everything that we experience is for our growth, that nothing really happens to us, that it happens for us. And so even though we may be in a very difficult situation, it's there so that we can overcome it and become stronger and more powerful and really step into our bigger selves.
But we have to want that.
Yes,
and
we
do. And that's the thing. You know, we can have all the best words. We can do great shows. We can write great books. We can put everything out there. But somebody has to reach for it.
Mm-hmm.
And it is that finding that place where someone feels that they are intrinsically worth even that much to go say, I'm going to watch a YouTube video and I'm going to take it in. And I, if I feel a little bit better, I'm going to watch another one. And
I think that's great.
I'm worth it. Or you read something, some wonderful book that you or I wrote, and there's a word in it that says, you know, you have value. And all of a sudden, it's that one time of hearing it that it enters your soul. And
exactly.
You change. But you have to go looking and be open and willing. And it doesn't take much. It doesn't take much to just say, I'll open and be willing to have something shift in my life that's positive and good.
And once you have that little willingness, you're opening the door for spirit to come in and to help. Because we don't need to do it ourselves. We always have helpers.
That's
lots
right.
of helpers. You just need to be willing to see things a little differently, open yourself up to a whole different perception. Mm-hmm. And look out. Look how you can absolutely grow and shift and be magnificent. Really step into your power.
Yes, and don't believe what people have told you about yourself that is negative. Remember, everybody has an opinion, and that many of them are willing to share it, but you don't have to believe it.
That's very true.
And remember also that you can simply, when someone makes a request of you, you have the absolute right to just open your mouth, put your lips together, and go, no. That's a whole sentence. No.
That's hard to do sometimes, especially if you're coming from a background where you were squelched.
Exactly.
On a lot of levels, yeah. And we come into this life with patterns from our parents, from our ancestors. We have past life issues. And some of these issues that we have with these hijackals can be past life connection. That, you know, we're working off our karma, so to speak. I know we're getting a little spiritual. But it doesn't matter because we work on it in the here and now. We can shift it in the here and now.
This is
really where we have our power.
Exactly. So, you know, there's a lot of hope. I really believe in hope. And I believe that anybody who's stimulated by this conversation to say, wow, have I been with a hijackal? You can go and get my free book called How to Spot a Hijackal at hijackals.com.
That's all be on our website, on your show page, on the Having It All show. You'll be able to access all of your different books, right? Your ebooks and your videos that are all on your website. Just go to havingitallshow.com. You'll see Dr. Roberta Schaller there. You can go on and read all about her information. You'll get everything that you need. And I want to tell you, because this is coming up so fast, that next week we have Joanne Eady. She is a hypnotherapist and she is, her topic is weight loss and how we can lose weight easily. So I think that's going to be a very exciting show. And I was wondering if you had any words of wisdom you'd like to share, because we're coming up to that point.
Right. Well, I do. And the most important thing I can help anybody understand is this. And in my previous office, in 12-inch gold letters, it said this on the wall. The truth is what you do. Believe that about yourself and believe that about everybody else. If someone's behavior matches their words, great. If their behavior doesn't match their words, believe the behavior.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. Yeah. The words are cheap. Talk's cheap.
Yes, and hackles talk a lot.
Is that okay? I didn't realize that, but yeah, I can see that. Yeah.
Well, if they want you to feel small, they'll do a good job of talking a lot.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Well, it's interesting to have come really, you know, experiencing the contrast of this life from coming from a place of being so small. And I know you did too, because you were, you know, had a similar story.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then to be able to move into a place where you can help other people is just, you know, it's really a blessing. And then we can give and share, and it's a beautiful thing.
It is indeed. And I hope that everyone who's feeling like perhaps they can't get out from under something as difficult as a hijackle, know that you can. You just have to be willing to take one baby step at a time, and you can.
Yes. And I just wanted to say also that I loved your Kaizen reference. I'm very familiar with it, where you just work toward a goal one baby step at a time. As long as you have that goal in mind and you're moving forward, you're on the path, and you
right.
will get there.
Small incremental positive steps.
Yes. It's a beautiful thing.
Isn't
yeah,
it?
You know? Yeah. Awesome. Well, thank you so much. This has really been wonderful having you on the show. And again, you can check out her show page on havingitallradio.com. Look forward to seeing you next week with Joanne Eady and her weight loss. And have a wonderful, wonderful week.
Join Marbeth next week on Having It All. Visit havingitallradio.com to learn more about Marbeth Dunn and her special guests. And be sure to download your free report.